All right, good morning, everyone. I think I'll just switch over here. Just everybody sitting on the right side. This must be it's the best side of the room, isn't it? All right, guys. Well, last week, does anybody remember what we talked about last week? Being what? Yeah, a new creation. And that's who you are. You're a new creation. But because you're a new creation, the Bible says, if you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, so walk ye in Him, being rooted and grounded and established in the truth. And that's your whole life. So once you're a new creation, your whole life is different. It's changed. It's a new thing that God does in your life. When I got saved way back in 1981... I just got out of college, and I came down to Texas, because I was never going to get saved in Illinois, because I don't know if there's any Christians up there. No, that's not true. But I came to Texas, and I got saved, and I knew that, I don't know how I knew it. I didn't even know anything. I didn't even, never read the Bible before or anything. I didn't know anything. But I just knew that my life would never, ever be the same. Because I grew up a Catholic, believe it or not, and I still never read the Bible, but I just knew that, because I had a fear of God in my own way. You know, everybody does. Everybody has a slight fear of God, especially if you're a Catholic or you grew up in a religious environment. You kind of have a little bit of a fear, or at least fear of His law. And when I got saved, I just knew my life would never, ever be the same. And if that's how it worked out. Because when you're born again, I knew that was the beginning of something, a trip or a thing I was going to go on, kind of like a trip, and I knew that, but I didn't know anything about it. I mean, literally nothing. I didn't know Jesus was coming back. I didn't know anything about that. But all I knew is I knew I was going to heaven, and I was excited. Right. I knew that all my sins were forgiven, and they are. And all your sins are completely forgiven. Every day, His mercies are new every morning. Now, today's Father's Day, but it's a day the Lord has made. I'm one of those people, I believe every day is the same. It irritates my wife a little bit, but I just believe every day is the same. I believe Monday is the same as Saturday, is the same as Friday, is the same as Sabbath day, is the same as Christmas or East, you know, whatever holidays we have. So every day is the same to me, and that's the way I look at it. Every day, I wake up, and I do the same exact thing. In the Bible, and that's what I want to talk to you about today. Okay, once you're born again, and you become a new creation, it's telekinesis, it's never been before. Never. So you're an individual. When God created you, naturally, He still wrote on your heart. So to do good and not do evil. But even though you've done evil, all of us in this room have done evil. I do evil every day. But God redefines evil. We define evil a different way than God does. We are loose or lax in it and everything. But God is like, be perfect. It's like, you're not going to be able to do that. And as a Catholic, that really bothered me when I first became a Christian. Because even though I was a Christian, I still wanted to do good. And I had that in me that I could be good. And if I didn't, I was guilty. I felt guilty. Now I never feel guilty ever anymore. I think that's one of the things that God worked out of my life. I just don't feel guilty. I just call sin, I just call it to what it is. I sinned, God. I hated that person. I despised them because they were not like me, or they had different views than I did, or they look different or whatever. Or they did me wrong. So I just call it that. I hated them and I despised them. When I do the same thing with my wife. If I treat my wife bad, it's because I despised her and hated her. If I don't love God with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength, it's all black and white to me. So I had a problem. How was I going to, solve this problem. I wasn't going to, for one thing. It takes years and years to solve that thing. Some people never do. They live under guilt and condemnation their whole life, and fear. Oh my gosh. And I know people that live in my house, actually, because Leah's parents live with us, that live like that. Constant fear, constant doubt, constant, you know, they just have no relief from it. And so they're on medication and all that kind of stuff. But God wants you to be free from all that. Not just for the sake of being free, but just for the sake that he loves you and he wants you to do the kingdom thing. That's why he came. Jesus came to set you free. He came to give you a yoke, but it's a different kind of yoke than the yoke of bondage or the yoke of the law. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. Why? Because he does everything. He does everything in you, for you, and through you. And to get that, it's hard. Because if you go that way, I mean, you are hanging on a thread. I remember the day I decided to do this. I thought, oh gosh, how am I not going to sin? Or how am I going to maintain my marriage? Or how am I going to do anything? How can I do anything, Lord, if I'm just going to trust you and not kind of help the thing along or whatever? But God's faithful, and he does it anyway. Now, there's another scripture that I wanted to talk about besides the new creation, which you are a new creation. Everybody say, I'm a new creation.
I'm a new creation.
So old things are passed away. All things have become new. You have been crucified with Christ. Amen. You're not living anymore. You're dead. Your life, you're dead. The old you, the you that you think you are, is dead. Amen. So God's killing you, not just justified you that way. You are crucified. You are dead. Yeah. I don't know if you know that. You are dead in your life, saved with Christ and God, but you're alive. Yeah. God kills you to resurrect you so that you can live with him. So you can walk in newness of life. Because your life is now Jesus. It's his life. Your life is his life. So now you're a new creation. You've been born again. You've been spirit-filled. You're, you know, moving on with God. Now, there's a scripture that Paul, at the end of Galatians chapter 6, it says that, do not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season you will reap if you faint not. And that's the scripture I've been kind of meditating on this week, because I'm thinking, and before that it talks about sowing to your flesh. Are you sowing to your spirit? Now, you sow the spirit by faith. You can only do it by faith. There's no other way to do it. You can't do it, you know, legalistically. You can't do it. You can, but it's not going to profit anything. You sow to the spirit. So you read your Bible and you pray. You worship God from the time you wake up in the morning to the time you go to bed. You know, there's all these things that the Bible says it's so extravagant and ridiculous that you can't do. So you're not growing weary in well doing because you're doing it by faith. Now, I've been a Christian for, 30? I'm at 40. How long have I been a Christian? I'm 60 years old. Man, I'm getting old. So I've been a Christian for almost 40 years. And it took a long, 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 long-suffering kind of time to get this thing done. It's not even done yet. Paul says, whatever I've attained, you know, it was God. But I'm still going. Until the day Jesus comes back. So you're not growing weary and well-doing. But doing good is not you doing good. Doing good is doing what Jesus says. Worship God first and only with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And then you love your neighbor as yourself. Loving your neighbor as yourself is a fruit of the first one. It's just a byproduct. Love, joy, peace, meekness, goodness, temperance, self-control, faithfulness, and all the things that we do in our life or have in our life is just a product of our relationship with Jesus. That's it. Because we love him. Everyone here loves Jesus with all your heart. And you might not seem that way, but you do. Because the Bible says you do. In 2 Peter, it says, we have all these great and exceeding great and precious promises that we might be partakers of the divine nature. And he says, even though you haven't seen them, you love them. With joy unspeakable and full of glory. And Willis was talking about that worship. well, those people weren't worshiping, you know, they weren't excited like he was, obviously. So, and you can't fake it. It's kind of like, it's just one of, it's like, that's how sports is. Because my kids have all been, I got six kids, and almost all of them have been involved in sports. All of them played some sport. Because I like sports. No. So they played basketball. One of my daughters actually played in college. She played basketball in college, so my kids are pretty athletic. Anyway, in sports, you just can't fake it. You know, you can try to hide, and, you know, but in the end, whoever's the best or whoever practiced the most or was ever in the best shape or whatever ends up winning. It's just the way it is. It's always been that way and it'll always be that way. So if you put the work in, then you win. If you don't, then you're not going to win. And my daughter was like, she was tenacious. I didn't even have to tell her, hey, you need to go work out today, or you need to go shoot 300 threes, or you need to do whatever. I didn't even have to tell her. She just did it. And she did everything more than I even asked. Or even I didn't even have to ask her anymore. After a couple of weeks, I didn't have to ask her. And she was just little. Not that. This is when we got back from Africa. Anyway, so that's our life. We're not going to grow weary in well doing. For in due season you will reap. You will always reap. If you sow the flesh, you'll reap corruption. If you sow the spirit, you'll reap eternal life. It doesn't mean you're going to go to heaven. You will go to heaven because of Jesus. Because Jesus is your only righteousness. He's 100%, 100%, 100% your righteousness. You have none other apart from that. Amen. Imputed or actual. So your actual righteousness, doing a good work, comes from that, not growing weary and well-doing. It's not you not growing weary. It's God giving you strength and giving you hope and giving you everything he's got so that you can do it. You can do it because he's in you, so willing to do. And the world hates that, and they hate you. I just read that in the Bible yesterday. They don't think it's strange that people hate you or despise you. Even if you do good, it doesn't matter. They're going to hate you anyway. Because everybody hates you without a cause. There's no cause. People just hate you. I got brothers of mine, brothers, and I got all kinds of people I know over the years that fell away from the Lord and all that kind of stuff. But they despise you. Pastor Jim, I know tons of people that hate Pastor Jim, that hate me, that hate different people in our church just because we're just doing what we believe God's told us to do. And that's all you got to do. You just do it by faith. God says, you know, wake up in the morning and pray and read your Bible. Then just do it by faith. Don't worry about if it's you're reading the right scripture or you're praying the right prayer or anything. Just do it. And God will direct your path. Amen. Just plan your way and God will direct your path. You don't have to worry about it. I know people that are always worried about, oh, I missed the will of God. They're always trying to find the will of God, but they never pray or read their Bible, but they want to know what the will of God is. This is the will of God, even your sanctification. Just do that. If you just let God, if you just spent time with God and let him, and he's doing a work in you, he's sanctifying you, then you'll do fine. That's all you got to do. It's simple. You got to boil it down to the most simple denominator in your life. Just be happy. Choose every day. Just go, I am exceedingly happy today because you have, like he said, you know, he's blessed us. Man, has he blessed us. We are so, I just can't even tell you. I don't know if any of you have ever been overseas. We are blessed.
Amen.
Exceedingly blessed. So everything we get, everything that's coming to us or not coming to us, that is neither here nor there. God is good, and he'll take care of us. No matter what happens in my life, I just don't count it. If I'm struggling, if I'm having a hard time, or if I'm having a financial problem or whatever, I don't even look at it. I just cast all my cares on the Lord, all your cares. I tell my boss, not my boss, but one of the companies I work for, guy's always, he's a Christian, he's a good brother, but he's always stressed out, and, you know, and he's always being secretive about, I don't know, it's just really weird. I'm always telling him, God, just cast all your cares on the Lord, man. And just, he goes, yeah, I'm trying, I'm trying. But you can't try to do stuff, just do it. And if you fail, so what? What if you died? So what? Yep. To die is gain.
Amen.
I never worry about dying. I never worry about if I'm sick or not sick, or if I'm... It's so funny how when you start to begin to grow as a Christian, you think stuff that you used to think was so important, or you were led by your emotions, or you were led by... I just tell that stuff to be quiet. I even talk sometimes, well, I shouldn't talk to myself, but you know how David said, talk to his soul, to put your hope in God. And I do that sometimes. I go, that's stupid. Why am I thinking that? That's neither here nor there. Just suffer. It's good to suffer. People do not want to suffer. He that suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. It's the only way you can cease from sin is to suffer. But it's not the kind of suffering you think.
Right.
Getting diseased and all, you know, and all those things that we go through. We go through those things too, but those things can do a good thing in our life. But the way we suffer is we don't do what we want to do. We do what God wants us to do. That's how you suffer. For instance, I got a good example this week. Because you can ask my wife or anybody that I love coffee. I drink a lot of coffee. And, so I've been going, let's see, I think it's been a week now since I've had coffee. Because I didn't want to control my life anymore. So I had to say, this week, this is just this week, I just had to tell my flesh, you know, what was up. And that God was, you know, Jesus is my Lord. And if God wants me to do this, then I'll do it. I don't care how I feel or how I think or why I'm doing it. I don't even care. And I believe I heard from God. And that's it. I don't care about anything else. Like when I married my wife, I heard from God. I don't care what anybody thought or felt or think. I don't care how I felt. And I don't even know if I even loved her or not loved her. I don't even think about stuff like that. Who cares? If God says to do something, just do it. He'll fill in all the gaps and take care of all the... He promised. He said, I'll supply all your needs. So I said, okay. I said, I'll do it, God, but I don't want to have a headache. It actually turned out that way. I didn't have a headache. I don't know what happened, but it just all kind of fell into place, and I didn't even think about it really that much. Now I'm not even really thinking about it. When I wake up in the morning now, I don't think about, the first thing I have to do is go get a cup of coffee so I can read my Bible and pray. I don't even think about that anymore. I just get up and do that. But that's just what God told me to do. It's not a sin to drink coffee. It's not a sin to eat. That stuff is useless. It is. The Bible says, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's what I'm doing. If Jesus says, don't eat, drink coffee, I'm not going to drink it. Maybe it's hurting me somehow. I don't know. I don't even care. If he says, do it, then do it. If he says, don't eat this and eat that and, you know, whatever. So you have to listen to the Lord yourself. Right? Everybody here is a new creation. You're your own individual relationship with God. Individually. Not as a group. God does love this church, but he loves you as an individual. So your individuality is important to God. And it's Christ in you. The hope of glory. I never worry about my culture, where I came from. I don't do... What's that place thing called... .com thing where you find out your ancestors. Ancestry.com or something like that. I never look at that stuff. I don't care about it. I know it could be interesting, but I don't care about stuff like that. You know, the Bible says, it says that Paul, I think he told, I can't remember if it was, if it might have been the Galatians or the Ephesians or something. He said, you have been delivered from your forefathers' worthless way of life. And that's what I think about my ancestors. I think they were worthless, like me. Because they're exactly like you. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Okay, now I'll read another scripture. So that was Galatians chapter 6. And that was, don't grow weary in well-doing. That's a fit. Right? You got it, Alex, what the scripture was? Yeah, I want to go ahead and read this. Galatians chapter 6. Okay, this is verse 6. Let's start with verse 6. 6:6. Let him that is taught the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his spirit, his flesh, shall the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit, shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not grow weary in well doing, for in due season we will reap if we faint not. As we have their opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially to them that are of the household of faith. So it makes it very simple. What do? You do good to all men. Doesn't mean you agree with them or you believe in their lifestyle or anything like that. Just do good to all men. But doing, you don't know what good is, though, so you have to figure that out. God has to show you. Good might be, like for instance, my son, Titus, who's 7. Good to him, me being good to him might be correcting him or chastising him. So you don't know. You got to ask God. You just got to read your Bible, pray. Now, your Bible, for instance, is the Word of God. But it's the Word of God is to get you to the Word of God. It's kind of weird. The living Word is Jesus. The Word made flesh and dwelt among us. So you read the Word to fall in love with Jesus, to fall in love with your fellow man. You read the Word to fall in love with Jesus, to fall in love with your fellow man. And that's just how it works. You can't do it any other way. You can't love your neighbor without God. I don't care what the liberals say or the world says, it doesn't matter. You cannot love your neighbor apart from Jesus Christ. Period. It's not going to happen by the Holy Spirit. I can't love my wife apart from God. You just can't do it. I don't care how it looks. You could think of a lot of things. Well, so this one man gave his life, or this one man did this, or this one man did that. The Bible says that's if you don't have love, then that's nothing. It's like God counts it as nothing. But we do stuff like that. We do it cheerfully and happily, and we're not worried about it because God works all that out for us. I never worry about loving my neighbor or not sinning or doing good or anything like that. I don't even know what good is. You don't know what it is. You don't know. Don't even go to good and evil. No, God is good. He is great and greatly to be praised. Just fall in love with Jesus. Then you will fall in love with your fellow man. You'll fall in love with your wife. You'll take care of all things will be taken care of. Because his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And he'll take care of all. He's in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. Now, new creation leads to, like Jim likes to call it, chair 5. Sanctification, which leads to that, which is not that big of a deal. People are always worried about suffering, but suffering is okay. Like, for instance, when I'm injured, normally, now never, hardly ever, I'll take a aspirin. I don't like medication. I don't even believe in medication, but I will let it go because I want the pain so I don't overcompensate and do something and hurt myself. So if my knee hurts or whatever, hurts on my body or my back or whatever, because I got a pretty physical job, I just, I just adjust and just go on. And if it's painful, it's painful. If it's not painful, it's not painful. So I'm not worried about the pain or the suffering. And I'm growing in the area of not worrying about how I suffer in the flesh. I don't care anymore because God, I know God will take care of me. I know that suffering in the flesh is good because I'm going to cease from sin. I'm going to reap eternal life, just like you will. If you sow to the Spirit, you'll reap eternal life. If you sow to the flesh, you'll reap corruption. It works with Christians as well as non-Christians. You sow to your flesh, that's what you get. If you sow the Spirit, that's sowing and reaping. I know during the prosperity message, not people were concerned about it, but I always thought, man, why don't we do that? Sow to your Spirit the things that are important. You know, like reading your Bible and praying and justice and mercy and all those things that are important to God. So what's important to God, what you think is important to God may not be. But you have to individually do what you can do. You are where you're at, where you're at. Just be faithful in that. Through Jesus, be faithful. Don't worry about you being faithful. You won't be faithful because you'll mess up every time. And I will too. We all will. Jim will. Me and Jim were talking the other day about all the, he was talking about all of his things that he did in the past, how he messed up. And I was like, yeah, you know, we all have. We're just mess ups. And God's always covering my tracks for me. I can't even believe my kids even like me. It's amazing. I have 6 of them. I think they all like me. I don't know why. I don't really feel like I do anything to deserve that, obviously. So the God, in His mercy and His grace, has changed me and has done all that. If you would have known me before I was a Christian, before I was sanctified, before I started growing, you would have thought, man, what a jerk. I mean, I was a jerk. When I was in high school, I was a jerk. I treated people awful. I treated my parents awful. I treated my brothers and sisters awful. I thought I was God's gift to creation. You know, I was good in sports. I had some things going for me until I went to college, and that all went away pretty quick. But you know, you think you're awesome. And then God has a way of humbling you, and life has a way of beating you up enough to where God can get a hold of you. And I love that. I love that about God. He takes all the dregs, all the people that the world would think are nothing, and makes it something. You can read it in Corinthians. He takes the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. The foolish things. So don't ever worry about it if you think you're stupid. Or me and Willis were talking here how we can't remember our kids' names. How you talk to them. You know how you call them. Like, I'll do Titus. I'll call him the dog. I do that too. I call our dog's name is Maverick. My daughter named him that. I don't know why she doesn't even watch sports, but she named him after the Dallas Mavericks. But so I'll go through when you get kind of flustered and you're trying to think of your child's name. So you're calling them the dog's name, the cat's name. You're the other kids, then you have to go through the list, and they're all looking at you like, Titus, Titus, Dad, Titus. It's just like that. So it's a wonder my kids are all scarred because I don't know their names. I'm just kidding, they're not. But it's good. All right, so like I said last week, the victory that we have is even our faith. So everything we do is by faith. Everything you do is by faith. Everything. We live by faith until Jesus comes back. Then we'll see Him as He is, and we'll be just like Him, and we won't need faith anymore. We won't need hope. My hope, your hope, is that one day Jesus will come back, right? And you'll receive the inheritance. You'll receive everything. Do you know that you'll receive everything? Everything. The earth, the everything will be yours. Everything you've ever, even the stuff you don't even know, God has prepared for you, for them that love Him and are called according to His purpose. All things working together for your good right now, which is awesome. Everything's working together for good. Everything. Everybody say everything.
Everything.
That means everything.
Everything.
It does.
Yes.
He works everything together for good. And then, in the end, you get everything. It's like a win-win thing. I was just thinking about that over here. I was like, oh my gosh, God, I am so blessed. And even though I'm blessed and all those things, and God has done great things, He's healed me, He's prospered me, He's done all kinds of things, I still have something in me a groaning, something that's in me that I really want Jesus to come back. I really want to see him. You know, I know I see him now through reading the Bible and prayer, and I love him. I love him with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. So do you. But when you see him, oh man, that's going to be awesome. I just can't wait. And that's good. I think that's good. Hastening the day of the Lord, the Bible says. And Jesus says when he comes back, he won't delay. He'll be right back. So he's coming right back. It's a long time, but to me it's a long time. But he won't delay. He'll come back and it'll be over quick. And you'll be changed in the twinkling of an eye. And you'll just say, oh my gosh. And then you'll look around and you'll say, where's all those wicked people? And I'll be gone. It'll only be the righteous. Only the righteous will shine forth, the Bible says. Only the righteous. Then the righteous will shine forth. And we'll inherit all things. Everything that God has for us, we'll inherit. Don't try to figure out what it is, whether you'll have, you know, horses in heaven or all that. Don't try to figure all that out. Just know that it's better than you think. Whatever you can think of, it's better. I was telling my wife that, oh, will we be married in heaven? No. She gets really mad at me. I said, it'll be better than you think, Leah. You'll be married to Jesus. That'll be way better. Okay, so Galatians. Let's turn to 1 John. Well, we're talking, for you guys that came in a little late, we're talking, last week we talked about being a new creation. So now we're talking, that is passive. You pretty much are a new creation. You just believed. You just had faith. Jesus came in your life. You died with him. Then you arose again with him. And you're seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. We talked a lot about that, being a new creation individually. Individually, God loves you. Truth, you know, you guys know all the sermons about how if you were just the only one on the earth, Jesus would die. That's true. So God loves you individually, not as a couple or as a group or as individually. You're called. Individually, you're called. You're called into fellowship with Jesus Christ. You're called into fellowship with one another, and then you're called. You're called in all those kinds of fellowships. There's three fellowships. You're called into fellowship with the Lord, with the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, and you're called into fellowship with other believers. And then you have a calling in your life, whatever that calling is. Only God knows if you're called to be a pastor or whatever you're called to do. It might not even be, but whatever you're called to do, you're called to do it. But don't worry about fulfilling it. God will do that. Remember, your only job is to seek first the kingdom. Your only job is to get to know Jesus. The written word always reveals the living word. If it doesn't, then it's just dead letter. You know, Jesus said, you search the scriptures for an enemy, you think you have eternal life, but they speak of me. So it's Jesus. So whenever I read the Bible, even the Old Testament, even Leviticus, I read Leviticus the other day. I'm seeing Jesus. I'm not looking at the dead letter. I'm looking at Jesus. He's perfect. His perfection is my perfection, because he gave it to me for free. He's my righteousness. He's my holiness. He's my sanctification. He's everything. And he's doing it all by the Holy Spirit. This is the Holy Spirit's time. The Holy Spirit's doing everything in the earth right now. He's drawing all the... He's convicting the world of righteousness. He's convicting the world of sin. He's convicting the world of judgment to come. That's the Holy Spirit's job. He does all that. And he's working in our life too. That's why it's good to be baptized in the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Because if you're not, then it's hard to sow to your spirit. You're sowing to your flesh. A lot of people study the Bible so they can be, you know, have a congregation and be prideful and make a lot of money and, you know, be king, but that's not what it's for. It's only to know Jesus. And that's the only reason why I read my Bible. Only. It's not so I can have a message or I can do anything. It's just like, I want to know Jesus. And that'll, all that stuff will take care of itself, right? In your life too. Individual by individual. You have to know Jesus yourself. So, you're born again. Now you're being sanctified so that you, when he comes back, you'll be glorified together with him. And that's our goal. But what do we do in the meantime? Well, I'm going to read it right here. In 1 John chapter 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. You are a son of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. So they don't even understand. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. We're not going to be him. You're not going to be God. You're just going to be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. Whoever committeth sin transgresses also the law. For the sin is a transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins. Praise the Lord. And in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. So if sin has dominion over your life, you haven't seen God. You haven't seen Jesus. He's the one that takes away your sin. Not only on the cross. Well, it's all on the cross. But he not only takes away your sin when you're born again to forgive you, but he's also actually removing sin from your life daily. Every day, he's removing sin from your life. But you don't see that. It's only by faith. It's only by faith. You got to do it by faith. Will you actually see it? Yes. You can actually see it. If you're abiding in him and he abides in you, then you won't sin. If you're sowing to the Spirit. If you sow to the flesh, then you reap corruption. But I can't. Now, I'm one of those people that cannot do stuff. If I'm, my wife is more disciplined than I am. I'm not a very disciplined person, but I'm learning to be that way. God's doing some things in my life. But she'll say, well, just do it. And I'm like, oh, but I can't. Whatever the thing is she's asking me to do, I'm like, well, I can't do that. When you go into the, now when you eat a potato chip, just eat one. Don't eat the whole bag. Like, okay, you can do that, but I can't. I have no ability. I haven't got that gift or whatever that gift is. Or just eat one piece of candy. No, that's just an example, but I'm just not that way. And so I told God that too. God, I just can't not sin. If it's going to get done, then you got to do it. Because I can't help you out. I just don't have any abilities in me to do that. I have no angst. I have no, anything. So if you want any fruit out of me, it's going to have to be you. So I'm not going to help you out. And I don't. I never help God out. I don't ever try to stop sinning or whatever. I just do stuff by faith. I just do it by faith. I love my wife by faith. I love my children by faith. I give my life to people, that I love, and I just do it by faith. I don't care if they thank me or don't thank me, or they even know it or don't know it. I don't even care. That's how you have to live. Jesus just went about doing good. As when he walked somewhere, he would meet somebody, and then he would just do whatever the Father told him to do. Then he'd do it, and then he'd keep moving. That's how we are. We're just going through life. And you're just loving Jesus with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And then when you have opportunity, the Bible says, you do good to all men, especially those of the household of faith. You're just doing it by faith. Don't check your flesh out to see if you're excited about it or you're interested in it or anything like that. That doesn't mean anything. For instance, we had Leah and I had her mom and dad move in with us, and living with your in-laws, it's kind of a little difficult, especially when they're in their 90s. But But it's way, I mean, I'm just telling you, it's way more work than I thought. I thought they're a little bit, I don't know, independent in what they can do, but they're not. So it's a lot of work. We can't even leave the house or go somewhere without taking care of things. And then if we go overnight somewhere, like on a vacation or something, then we have to have somebody come and stay with them. It's like having kids. And I didn't know it was going to be like that. So I had to learn that, you know, but you know what? I just thought, you know, God, you told us to do it. If I despise them or something, that's your fault. You shouldn't have had them move in with me. So I put all the blame on God all the time. But it's good to do that, I'm telling you. Then you can get to know him. Because then he'll correct you. How can he correct you if you don't admit that you're doing wrong? But people do not like to admit they're doing wrong. I just notice that about people. They don't like to admit they did good, you did evil. Right. And you're not going to convince them otherwise. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, people don't forgive. Forever. I mean, it's crazy. Like, I'll talk to Leah's mom sometime, and I'm like amazed at how she despises some people from years ago. I'm like, oh, you know, and I'm thinking, man, we gotta forgive everybody. But how much have you been forgiven? If you have been forgiven much, you love much. I've been forgiven so much. And so have you. Everybody's actually been forgiven the same, because you all fallen short. So it's good to see that in your life. Then you're like, okay. Then you're in love. I'm telling you, you fall in love with Jesus because he's so merciful and good. You see, oh God, I can't believe how bad I was and how bad I am still. I'm convicted if I don't think about the Lord. I'm not worried about it or fretful about it at all. I don't care about it, but I'm just saying, if I'm not meditating in the Word or something like that, then I'm not doing right. Because the Bible says meditate in the Word day and night. That's how, I'm just trying to give you a kind of a point of reference how wicked we are, so that you'll know how good God is and how merciful he is and how much you can love him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Because he's put that in you, for one thing, but also because you've been forgiven much. You love a lot. Forgiven little. Remember he gave the parable about the guy that was forgiven a little bit of money. This guy had two guys that owed him money, and he called in the debt. And one guy, you know, they both couldn't pay. One guy owed him, you know, pittance, hardly anything. And the other guy owed him, you know, let's say millions. So who's going to love him most? It's going to be the guy that was forgiven a lot. But that's you. That's you.
Yeah. Amen.
That's why I think that sometimes people that have been like I was, kind of really out in the world and, you know, were prostitutes and did all kinds of crazy things and they get saved, they're so excited. When I went to this first church I went to, even when I went to Emmanuel, started going to Emmanuel, I think the most exciting people in the church were always the people that lived like that. Then they got saved and they got delivered. And there, even my wife even says that sometimes. Well, I just didn't grow up like you did. You know, she grew up a Christian. You know, whatever that means. She grew up a Christian, so she didn't have all the problems I had. I had tons. Because I was, you know, drunk and a fool. I was a fool. So, when I got saved, I was excited. I mean, I was ecstatic. I couldn't believe it. I still can't. This day, I'll be driving down the road, and I'll just think, oh, God, I just can't believe it. Because I was crazy, wild sinner. And God, it was just like, wasn't even expecting it. It was like it blindsided me. I was like, man, one minute I'm, you know, just a cussing scumbag, drunk. And then next minute, I mean, that very minute, I was changed instantly. And so when that happens to you, you're in love. You're just you're just ecstatic. But I keep telling Lee, I go, you're that too. That's you. Even though you didn't do all that stuff, you still, you know, were religious or wicked or whatever you were. Everybody is. That's why it's hard for religious people to come into the kingdom. It's not impossible. It's hard. It's hard for the rich to come into the world because they have everything going for them. When I got saved, I had nothing going for me. I knew it. I wasn't poor or anything. I had a really good job and all that, but I was just emotionally bankrupt. I was destroyed. I was totally destroyed. Life just totally destroyed me. Because I grew up Catholic and I wanted to be good. And I never did it. Like I told you, I wasn't disciplined. So I couldn't not sin. And they expected me to be a good Catholic boy. My mom always called me a good Catholic boy. She only knew. Danny, you're a good Catholic boy. But anyway, they wanted me to be a priest and all that. And I am. I am a priest, but not the way she wanted. But, you know, we're all priests and kings, right? So anyway, the bottom line message today is don't grow weary in well-doing. Continue in the things you know to do by faith. Don't check out. Well, I don't feel like people don't come to church, you know why? Because they don't feel like it. That's it. They don't feel like coming. I don't care what I feel like. I always come. You know, I don't care. I don't care what I feel like. If God wants me to do something, I'll do it. If God wants my in-laws to move in with me, then I'll do it. I didn't feel like it. It's a lot of work. Not only getting them there, but fixing up their apartment and all that. It was. I'm just yawning thinking about it. It was a lot of work. But I didn't check out and say, well, I didn't check my feelings out or check out. I just did it because God just did it. That's unto the Lord. No, and it all works out for good. I don't know how God does that. It just does. And you just don't check out your. I know we say that a lot, but it's interesting how when you do something by faith, everything in you is going to not want to do it. Your will, your emotions, your mind, you're going to think about things. Oh, well, what if this happens? Is this really God? You know, your mind goes crazy and all that. Good thing I'm not that smart, so my mind is easy to overcome. No. But you just got to overcome all those things. Your own mind, your own reasoning. You have to overcome your own emotions. You know, whether you're happy about it or sad about it or indifferent about it, it doesn't matter. And you just got to, you know, you just can't check that stuff out sometimes, or all the time, really. You got to check with God first. And then your mind will line up, then your will will line up, then your emotions will line up, and then you'll be happy. Happiness, remember, happiness before holiness. Go for happiness first. Just always go to God's mercy. God loves it when you trust in His mercy. Don't trust in His law. The law is good. It's holy. It's everything. It's glorious. It has a glory to it, even, the Bible says. But you have to have God's mercy. You got to have His right hand has gotten me the victory. That's His mercy. That's His mercy and His grace. You got to live by the gospel. You can't live by law, principles, morals, the elements of this world. Those are the elements of this world. You can't live by that. You got to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You got to live by faith. Because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing. So you got to hear it. Just read the Bible, read it out loud, read it however you got to read it, read it. Don't worry about if you understand it. If you, you know, don't worry about any of that stuff. Just pray and ask Jesus. He's your righteousness. He's your teacher. He's everything. And He does it all by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does everything. He reveals Jesus to you through the Word. And He reveals Jesus to you through your prayers. He reveals Jesus to you by coming to church and getting... church is good for this reason, is that we meet together and we encourage one another because we see that. Because during the week, sometimes you like you could not see another Christian. So when you meet together often, it encourages you. You say, "Man, there is people that still love Jesus. Didn't know that." When I went to Africa, I was shocked how many Christians there were. It was a lot. And it's encouraging, even though they weren't, you know, like people, the world probably doesn't even think much about them. That doesn't matter. That's awesome that all those people, one day they'll rule the world. Right? The meek shall inherit the earth. So we're going to inherit all things. And that's us. So just be encouraged. Just sow your spirit. Don't worry about reaping or anything like that. Don't look at that. Just do it, because God said to do it. Don't worry about if you sow a dollar, don't worry about getting $100 back or $300 or whatever. Just do it. If God says give money, just give it. God says, you know, love this neighbor, do this for this person or do that, just do it. And if you miss God, so what? It's not going to, you're going to get struck by lightning or anything. Just don't worry about it. Just keep your eyes on Jesus. He's the author and the finisher of your faith. He'll finish everything. He'll do everything for you, in you, and through you. Because he's in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. But you have to walk that every day. You can skip a day, or you can skip a week. You can skip whatever. But don't. I just encourage you, just do it every day. Every day, come to Jesus. Every day, see your sin. Every day, see how good God is to forgive you. How merciful his mercies are new every morning. And they endure forever. He is merciful and kind, slow to anger. Plenteous. Plenteous. I like that word, plenteous. Plenteous in mercy to all those that call upon him. And then, just allow him to do a work. And just allow him, just avail yourself to God. And he will surely do it. He will empower you to do good. He will empower you to do whatever his will is. Not perfect. People always want something more dramatic than it really is. It could be something. It's most of the time, 99% of the time, it's just something real simple. It's not that. It's not anything, because his yoke is easy, his burden is light. He's not going to ask you to jump off a cliff or something. It's usually just something right in your wheelhouse, right where you live. You know, your friend down on the roof or whatever, or you know, somebody. All the people I see at work all the time. Man, I wish I spoke Spanish. That's all I always work with, mostly Spanish people. So anyway, so you just got to don't be weary in reading your Bible and praying. And not getting revelation. Don't worry about it. Just do it. And get a concordance if you want or whatever. But anyway, that's it. That's all I got today. I just wanted to share that. God, you know, he is merciful and kind. He has done everything for us and in us and through us. And he'll do it for you as an individual. You, even if you think he won't, he will. Amen?
Amen.
God is good. All right, let's pray. Father, we just thank you. I pray everyone here would be blessed, healed. Lord, you promised. You said if, you know, we don't take care of ourselves perfectly or our families perfectly, but you do. You have so many promises, and all your promises are yes and amen. Especially that we can become partakers of your divine nature. That's really what we want, Lord. Out of all the promises in the Bible, that's the one we want. We want to be a partaker of your divine nature so that we can do the works of the ministry, so we can do everything you called us to do in this life and also in the life to come. It says it's profitable. Godliness is profitable for all things, for this life and the life to come. Well, we don't know all what that means, but we know that you're going to do it. You are causing us to walk in godliness and the fear of the Lord so that we can be wise as a serpent, as innocent as a dove. And Lord, we thank you for that, that we are salt and light in this world. We don't see it all the time or think it's even possible, but that's what we are. We are salt and light in this world. And one day, when Jesus comes back, he'll say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." And we'll say, just like they did in the Bible, they say, "Well, what did we do?" And then you'll rattle off all these things we did, and we'll go, "Wow, I didn't even know I did that." You're amazing, God. You are awesome. We just thank you for being our God, for giving us hope, for giving us the faith we need. You've given every man a measure of faith. We have exactly the amount of faith we need, all of us. So we're without excuse. We have all the faith we need because we have Jesus. And he is the author and the finisher of our faith. Thank you, God, for healing everyone here. Just bless them in their finances. Help them to do everything that we talked about in this message, Father. Just give them the grace and the mercy to do it. The power of the Holy Spirit to read the Word, to pray in the Spirit, to pray with the understanding, to do everything the Bible says, to love our neighbor, love our wives, love our children, to love our fellow man. Lord, all that so that, you know, and we know that your yoke is easy, your burden is light, so we can do it. You can do it in us and through us. So we can walk in that. But it's a miracle. It's a gift of God. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we thank you for doing that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day, everyone.
Yeah. Happy Father's Day.
If you're not a father, you can still have a good day.
Oh, yeah.
If you're not a father, you can still be happy.
Amen. Celebrate our Heavenly Father.
That's right. We have a good Father in heaven.
Amazing.